Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
The city of Aquaba lies on the southern point, if we could show the map up here, the southern point of Jordan. It's just east of Israel. And to the south of Aquaba, you can see where that red spot is on the map, is the Gulf of Aquaba. And all around it, there's this desolate, barren desert for miles and miles and miles, thought to be impassable. That's what the Turks thought. And so as a result, they put heavy armaments of naval guns facing the south towards the bay, because that was the only way anyone could come up and attack them, or so they thought. Because on July 6th of 1917, Arab forces under the direction of Lawrence of Arabia swept in from the north from the blind side. The naval guns were facing the wrong direction, and they had no weapons facing the invaders. As a result, they were defeated. They made two mistakes, the Turks did. First, they did not know their enemy. And secondly, they did not have the right weapons. And this morning, as we wrap up our series on Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is going to say pretty much the same thing. Ephesians, you need to know your enemy and you need to know your weapons. We see this in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12 and 13, Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's great having all of you here with us today at Radius Church this Thanksgiving week. And we want to welcome you as we're wrapping up our series in the book of Ephesians called A Superior Life. And today's message is entitled, We Are Warriors. How many warriors do I have out there? Okay, flex your muscles if you're a warrior, right? Okay, yeah, we got to work out here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 10, and as you're turning there, I just want to kind of recap where we've been for those who maybe missed all or part of the series. If this is your first time with us, hey, happy Thanksgiving. It's good to have you here. Also want to welcome our online community that's joining us today. We're so glad that you're with us. But the Apostle Paul starts out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, and we're going to show a slide up here that has all of this. So maybe some of you just want to take your phone, do a snapshot, because it really gives you a great overview of the book of Ephesians. But Paul first started out in the first 14 verses. He says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're not lacking everything. You have everything you need. He says, you have been forgiven, redeemed from the slavery of sin. You have an inheritance. You've been chosen. You've been accepted. You've been sealed with the Spirit. He goes on and on about the incredible blessings. In the last part of chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, Paul prays for them to have a revelation of the power and the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. He's saying, you have a superior life because Ephesus was a city, it was the center of worship for the goddess Artemis. It was a fertility cult. And so there was much immorality, pagan idol worship. This temple was one of the seven wonders of the world. People came from all over to worship. There was much immorality, and there was also persecution against the church. And the Ephesians were thinking of going back to their former life. Paul says, don't go back. Your life in Christ now is superior to your life when you were in the world, when you were in sin before you came to Jesus. We have been blessed. He prayed for them to have a revelation of the power and of the hope that they have in Christ. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, he talks about how we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, nothing that we can do, lest we would boast. Then in verses 11 through chapter 3, verse 21, he says that we are the church. Because we're saved, we are brought into a community. We're not lone rangers. We're not isolated. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of a community. We're a temple. We're living stones being built together. And just as people were came to the physical temple to encounter God, Paul was saying, people are to encounter God through my people. They encounter us. You have a mission. What is that mission radius? Help all. You're kind of out of, I'm all over, but to help all people find and follow Jesus. He says, that's your mission. You are my body on the planet now, Jesus said. You are the temple for people to encounter God. And because of that, you have a mission and you need to walk in unity. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Because if the church is fighting and it doesn't love, the people, they'll know you're my followers because of your love for one another. We need unity in the body. When we have division and strife, it hinders our ability to take that message, that mission to the world. He then said in chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 6, verse 9, he talks about we walk in newness, and he shares a ton of stuff in there. A couple weeks ago when we talked about that, we covered a lot of ground. There is even some stuff we kind of just skated over with a sentence or two. But Paul's talking about, because you've got this new life in Christ, you've got a new mind, there should be new behavior, new speech, new thoughts, new relationships. You are a new creation in Christ, so you should be different this new life, because when you don't live out a newness of life and people see you walking in that old man, it now discredits your testimony, and it hinders you from fulfilling the mission you have as my body, as my temple. So you've got a new life. And now he's going to wrap up the last part of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 24, by saying, and this is in your notes this morning, I want you to stand strong in this superior life. You need to stand strong in it, because warriors must be prepared. Wimps get whipped. All right? Warriors, we are warriors, and warriors must be prepared. Wimps get wimped. I hope there's no wimps in the crowd, all right? If you are wimpy, I pray by the time the service is done, you say, I'm going to change that. I'm going to be a warrior in the superior life. So we read in verse 13, Paul says, having done all to stand, you stand. And that word stand, it means to continue safe and sound. Jesus doesn't want us to start a relationship with him, but at some point, we're not safe and sound, and we abandon him. And he's going to give us clues. Paul is, what do we need to do to be safe and sound? It also means to stand unharmed, to stand ready or prepared. And so I'm going to give you three preparations of ready warriors, of winning warriors, all right? Number one in your notes this morning is be aware of the battle. If you and I are going to be prepared as ready, winning warriors, we need to be aware of the battle. When I was in middle school, there was a PE class, and we were playing kickball. And it started out like our team was out on defense. We got them out. We run in. And on the very first inning, you run as fast as you can because you want to get to the front of the line so you can kick earlier. If you're at the back of the line, you're going to kick less, all right? So you get your place in line. Everything's in fine. We get out, go out in the field, play defense, come back in, and as I come in to take my spot in line, a kid named Todd cut in front of me. And I said, that's not your place. He says, yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. We kind of get back and forth. I says, fine, go ahead, you big baby. Have it. I don't think anything else of it. Go on, play the game, and you know, it goes 20 minutes, 30 minutes later. We're walking back to the school because where we played was two blocks away, and to get to the school gym, there was an alley that we walked through. And as we are walking, Todd has three of his friends kind of be in front of me, and they stop. And there's a chain link fence to my left. Todd is on my right, and he says, let's fight. I called him a baby. He wanted to fight. He says, I'm not going to fight. He says, let's fight. And I tried to get through, and I couldn't. He says, let's fight. He says, no, I'm not going to fight. Wham! Next thing I know, I'm hit. I'm on the ground. He's on top of me, wailing on me, and I'm in a daze. And when I kind of come to, I get my feet up underneath, and I kick him off. He goes flying into the chain link fence, and I am heated. I don't think I did one of those backflips up, but it kind of felt like it, you know, in my mind. And I get up and I'm ready. And he starts walking away because he saw the red in my eyes. And I says, "Hey, let's fight." And he just kept on. I says, "Come on back, you chicken. Come on, let's fight." But you know what? It was too late because I'd already been decked and I had a black eye. I wasn't aware that there had been a battle that was brewing. And so many times, friends, we don't realize there is a battle that is brewing in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities. And we don't think anything of it, but we are at war. Life is war. And so we need to be aware of this battle. Three things about this battle in your notes. Letter A, our enemies are not people. They're evil spirits. Some of you, when I said, we are at war, you're saying, yeah, you should see my husband. You should see my spouse, my boss, my classmates. Friends, your enemy is not a person. It's not a group of people. It's not a certain group of politicians or an organization. Our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's not your spouse, your ex, your in-laws, or your brother or sister. It's not your boss who shows favoritism to the other workers. It's not the bully in school who makes your life miserable. It's not the coach who won't give you a shot at playing time to prove how good you are, or that teacher, that drama coach, or whoever, or the choir conductor who won't let you have a solo or try out for a part. They always reject you. It's not an immature Christ follower who gossips and causes division. It's not wolves in sheep's clothing who come in and try to destroy the church. Friends, our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's the devil and his minions. You know, I love that word, minions. I'm so glad the minions thing came out, because I see the demons now, instead of these big, mean things, I see them as these little yellow things. You know, they've got no power. They've got no power against God's angels. That is the force we're fighting. Now, the devil does have power, and he'll hurt you, but he can't touch you unless you give him access to your life. And so realize this is not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. If you're in conflict with someone, you need to realize that, first of all, this conflict is being spiritually influenced. And you have to ask yourself, God, am I allowing the enemy to influence me to make this conflict worse or not? So our enemy is our evil spirits. Letter B in your notes. We need to be strong in the Lord because we're fighting a spiritual enemy. We can't use physical skill, physical strength, physical knowledge, because physical does not attack the spiritual. We need God's power. We need to rely on God. We are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So my question for you is, how strong are you? Are you building spiritual muscles? Some of you, you work out, you run, you lift weights, you do all these different things. But are you building your spiritual muscles? Are you spending regular time in prayer, working out with the Word of God, reading the Word, memorizing the Word, so that you can have that renewed mind that Paul talked about a few weeks ago in Ephesians, about set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Put on the new man, the new mind. Are you a person of prayer, developing a prayer life? Are you a person who is developing other disciplines like fasting? Are you a person who's growing in maturity and how you handle conflict, how you handle disappointment, and how you handle fear, anxiety, discouragement, depression? You see, if we're not growing spiritually, we are not building ourselves up and we're not ready for the battle. And so I need to be a person who is growing spiritually so I can be strong in the Lord. Letter C, the next thing we need to be aware of is that there is strength in submission. There is strength in submission. What's interesting is that if you go back and rewind from Ephesians 6:10, where Paul starts talking about spiritual warfare, you'll go back to chapter 5, verse 21, and he talks about submission to our authorities there. And the reason he does that is because living in rebellion opens us up to demonic attacks. He's going to talk about submission with husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and masters. And I'll touch a little bit about those in each. But I want you to realize that when we allow a rebellious spirit in our life, we're being demonically influenced. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now, I don't think any of us want witchcraft operating our homes. We're not going to have seances. We're not going to cast spells. We're not going to do that kind of thing. We don't want that anywhere near our home. But if we have a rebellious spirit against the authorities God has put in our lives, we're, in essence, practicing witchcraft. King Saul, early in his reign, he got rid of all the sorcerers, witches, mediums, and at the end of his life, he consorted with a witch. He went to a witch, relied on her. Why did he do that? Because he had rebellion in his heart. That verse we just read about 1 Samuel, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. The setting of that is that Samuel spoke that to Saul when he disobeyed his authority. Samuel told Saul to attack the Amalekites and not let any living thing survive. Not a single person, not a single animal. Saul, he saved the best of the livestock, and he saved the king. You know why? Because when he comes back to Israel, he wants to parade them in front of the people and say, look at these spoils of war, and I'm going to offer these animals as sacrifices to God. Now, that's a noble thing, but Samuel the prophet said, kill it all. So no matter what your good intention is, when you rebel against your authority, that is sin. And that's when Samuel says, rebellion's like the sin of witchcraft. I think if you would have told Saul at the beginning of his reign, someday you're going to go to a witch for guidance, he would say, bless God, no, I'm not going to do that. But he did. Why? Because when you let rebellion stay in your heart long enough, there's a demonic spirit that's at work, and it begins to change you. And eventually, if you let that persist, it's going to take you down a dark, dark path. So realize that there is strength in submission. Letter D, authorities are to be selfless, serving, honoring, bringing people to Jesus. Paul not just talks about submission, but he talks about the role of authority. In fact, it's interesting in that submission passage with husbands and wives, Paul talks more to the husbands than he does to the wives. He says to the husbands, he says, hey, guys, you need to lay your lives down for your wife like Christ did for us. Wow. Totally unselfish. Jesus did not think of himself. He was totally thinking of his bride, the church. And that's how we as husbands are supposed to operate. You see, authority, just because you're a leader, you're an authority, doesn't mean you're a brute, you're a tyrant, you're a boss, and you can push people around and tell them what to do. Jesus said, if you're going to be the greatest, you're the servant of all. Because here's the thing, if you are a selfish brute of a leader, you're not going to be submissive yourself to your authority. You'll be rebellious. Only when you're a servant. We say this in our Destiny class. We just wrapped up Destiny on Wednesday. The way up in the kingdom of God is by submitting down. And this is so important because there are so many people that are rebellious, and they're opening up a door to the demonic in their lives, and they don't even realize it. And so I encourage you, and here's something I've noticed. People that have a rebellious spirit, many times, not all the times, but their life is marked by constant chaos and just everything is always fruit basket upset. So evaluate your life and see if that's something God's speaking to you. Dads, you're to train and instruct your kids, bringing them to Christ. Paul said to the masters of the slaves, he says, hey, you guys realize God is your master. And how does God treat you as slaves? That's how you need to treat your slaves. Now, here's the thing. Paul did not dismantle slavery. You know why? Because he wasn't able to do that. But he says, this is how you work in a broken system in the world. This was not an endorsement of slavery, okay? Not an endorsement. But it's how you work around it when things in this world sometimes are difficult to be fixed. I'm thankful for men like William Wilberforce that abolished slavery in England. I'm thankful for Abraham Lincoln that abolished slavery in America. I'm thankful for people that have tried to bring equality, because in the body of Christ, there is no race, there is no creed, there is no color. We are one, one people under God. And so we need to be a people. As leaders, we're submissive and servants. As followers, we're submissive and say, God, help us. Okay, let's take a look at the second preparation of winning warriors. First, be aware of the battle, how Satan operates, what's taking place. Number two in your notes, be armed with God's armor. Be armed with God's armor. To stand strong in the superior life, we need to be prepared by putting on the right weaponry. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When I was in high school, I played football, and we were given armor. You know, helmets, shoulder pads, knee pads, thigh pads. We were given armor to protect ourselves. And friends, we are fighting a battle. We need to put on the armor of God. Now, I'm not going to go into great depth about these. If you want to do an in-depth teaching, go to, we give you the link right there in our notes. We did a series in the spring and summer of 2021 just called Armor, 8-week series, and we broke down these specific pieces of the armor of God. And I encourage you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life, the watch page. You can find it there. Go to that link on your page, and you can watch and get an in-depth portion. We've given you a synopsis in your notes. I'm going to briefly run through them. The first one there, letter A in your notes, is the belt of truth. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Roman soldiers, they wore long tunics, but when they went on duty, they would take their belt off, and they would gather up their tunic and wrap the belt around it. That way, they could run and not trip, or they could fight and do battle. They could twirl. They could do all these things, and they're not getting tripped up and entangled by their tunic. And Paul says, you need to wrap up your emotions, your thoughts. I so much appreciated what Jeannie Mayo said last week, that feelings are the facts of the 21st century. How many realize that's true? What I feel is a fact. What I feel is a truth. That's what our society says. We need to get our truth from the Word of God, and we wrap our feelings, we wrap our thoughts, we take every thought captive, and we wrap our decisions, we wrap our behavior in truth. It steadies us. We are not people who lie, but we walk according to truth. We speak truth. Letter B in your notes, Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Stand, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected the heart. It protected the heart. And Paul says, you need to protect your heart. We're told that in Proverbs, guard your heart. And how do we do that? Paul kind of expands on this breastplate in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Righteousness is composed of faith and love. I put my faith in Jesus, that he loves me, he died for me, he's always going to take care of me no matter how bad things are. And then I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't have anyone else that I love more than him. I'm even willing to die for him. And when I have faith and love, that gives me righteousness. That protects my heart. When I begin to doubt, my heart's not protected. When I begin to love other things or other people more than God, my heart is not protected. So protect your heart with faith and love, the righteousness of God. Letter C, gospel shoes. This is found in verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers were issued great footwear, studded boots that they could travel long periods of time. They could go over any terrain, go into every nook and cranny to chase down the enemy. And friends, we are fighting a spiritual battle for the souls of people. The enemy is trying to take the souls of people's lives, and God wants us to go to every nook and cranny, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We need to be people who are ready to witness. You go through life thinking, God, who can I touch with your grace? Who can I share your love with today so they can know you? Is there someone lost? Bring someone across my path. Do you have a prayer list of people that are not saved that you regularly pray for? I do. That's part of wearing the shoes of peace, the gospel shoes, that I am ready to say, hey, Jesus loves you. He died for your sin and he wants a relationship with you. That's part of the preparation we need every day to be ready to be witnesses. Letter D, the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There were two kinds of shields that the Romans used. One was a small shield, a round shield, kind of like what Captain America uses. But there was another one. It was a door-sized shield, and it protected the entire body. And when Paul chooses the word for shield here, he chooses the one that protected the entire body. And he says that faith will protect your entire body, your entire being. So don't doubt God. There once was a nun who was on her way to a missions trip to an Apache reservation, and she ran out of gas. And she had to hike back to the gas station, and the only thing she had with her that could carry gas was a large bedpan. So she puts gas in the bedpan, hikes back to her car, and as she's pouring in the gas from the bedpan, two guys drive by, and they see this yellow liquid in the bedpan going into the car. They say, now that's faith! You know what? It's more important to have the real thing on the inside than it is to have the right appearance on the outside. And I know some Christians, they look on the outside like, yes, I'm spiritual, I love God, he is the greatest. But when problems come, that faith is gone. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. He's not there. Friends, faith, you don't need faith when life is going great, when you're up on the mountaintop, when you're living the abundant life and it feels superior. You need faith when all hell is breaking loose. You need faith when it feels like it's inferior. You need faith when your world's falling apart, but that shield of faith will protect you. Put on faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Many of these pieces of scripture, they all tie in together. They weave together and make us warriors, preparing us for the battle. Letter E in your notes, the helmet of salvation. We're supposed to take this helmet. Helmets were skull caps made of iron, typically covered with bronze with cheek guards, and had an inside lining of sponge for comfort. It protected your head from the enemy blows. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, just as Paul expanded on the breastplate of righteousness is faith and love, he says, take the helmet of the hope of salvation. So many times we forget about this beautiful, blessed hope we have in Jesus, that this world is not our home. This is not permanent. This is temporary. We have light and momentary troubles, not heavy and eternal troubles. We have eternal life in Christ, the hope of salvation. If you keep hope, the hope of what Jesus has done and where we're going, it will arm you for battle. And then last of all, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's two words for the word of God that's used. One is logos, which was the written word. Paul uses that most of the time. But there was a second word for word, and that was rhema, which meant a spoken word. And Paul's talking about the word, the sword of the Spirit, the word that the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. It's not an audible voice, but it's spirit to spirit. Sometimes you get it when you're reading the Bible. Sometimes it's a prompting of a scripture, and God brings something to mind, and he gives you a word for a specific situation. I have scriptures for different situations in my life. When for lust, it's Job 31:1. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young lady. When it's anxiety, then it's Philippians 4:4-7, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your yieldiness be made known to all men because God is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ in strength. You see, I know that because it's my sword. When I'm attacked, whoosh, I got it. I'm ready to defeat the devil. And we've got to memorize Scripture and have the sword of the Spirit ready. And these are things that I, when I face situations, I says, God, I need your help. How do I overcome stress? How do I overcome anxiety, fear, anger, swearing, you know, whatever it might be? And the Holy Spirit shows me, Craig, use this verse, use this verse. Sometimes they're repeated verses, sometimes it's a new verse that I just read that day or in the last week. The Holy Spirit will speak to you if you spend time in the Word. Okay, number three, the final preparation winning warriors need to make is we need to be devoted to prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer. Unlike the other items that Paul laid out, prayer is not associated with any piece of the armor that the Roman soldier wore. But in modern day warfare, there is a piece of equipment that the soldiers use, and that's the walkie-talkie. And prayer is like a modern day warfare walkie-talkie. God wants us to be people of prayer. When we pray, things happen in the heavenlies. In this spiritual battle that we don't see happening, but forces clash when we pray. Someone once said, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And when we don't pray, God doesn't work. There's a quote by John Piper. He says, we cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war. Life is war. That's not all it is, but it is certainly that. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It's not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. And Paul had those same feelings about prayer. Verses 18 to 20, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, look at this, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Remember, he was in chains. He was in prison as he wrote this. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul makes four all statements about prayer. They're in your notes. The first one is pray at all times. I need this attitude of dependence on God on everything. When something's going bad, don't get mad, don't swear, don't freak out, don't get frustrated, don't get anxious, don't get depressed. Pray about it. Is prayer our first response to trouble? It should be. We need to pray at all times. And then he talks about all kinds of prayer. Bertina talked about today, when you're going through a rough time, give praise and thanksgiving. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is a weapon. We need to do that kind of prayers. When God convicts us of sin, we need to pray prayers of confession. God, forgive me. We need to pray prayers of supplication where we're praying for ourselves and we're interceding for needs. And then another all statement that Paul makes is, he says, with all perseverance. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't get discouraged. No matter what it's like, we keep praying. And the last all statement is that all the saints, don't just pray for yourselves, but pray for other people. Pray for other people. Paul especially says, hey, pray for me. Pray for kingdom advancing efforts. Pray for our church, our pastors on staff. We come under attack. You don't realize the kinds of attacks that we come under. Pray for your pastors. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for church planters. Pray for other churches. Pray for Christian ministries and organizations. They're advancing the kingdom. And as we pray, God does incredible things. Some of you this morning, you may feel that prayer doesn't work, so why even pray? I'm going to close with a story that Mark Batterson shares in his book, Whisper. And Mark suffered for 40 years with asthma. His very first childhood memory was a severe asthma attack where he was taken to the emergency room, and he had to be given a treatment in the middle of the night, be given a shot of epinephrine. And that routine was repeated more times than he can remember as a child. He says in his book, there weren't 40 days in 40 years that he did not need to take a puff of his albuterol inhaler, and he never went anywhere without it. But he continued to pray for healing. How could he do that? Because something happened when he was 14 years old. Right before his freshman year of high school, he was hospitalized with a severe asthma attack, and it landed him in the intensive care unit. This was probably one of such dozen hospitalizations for asthma. And at the end of the week, he was released, and the pastor of his church, Paul McGarvey, and a prayer team from Naperville, for Calvary Temple Naperville, they came and they prayed for healing for him. And he was healed, but not in the way that he thought. He woke up the next morning, he still had asthma, but the warts on his feet were completely gone. He had a lot of warts. And he thought, God, did the signals in heaven get cross somehow? Is there someone who woke up this morning and, you know, they prayed for their warts to be gone, but, you know, they can breathe easy today, and I got there? You know, what happened, God? And then he heard an inaudible voice of God, a rhema word, spirit to spirit, and this is what it said. It says, Mark, I just wanted you to know that I am able. I'm able. So that was at age 14. He continues to pray through his 20s, his 30s, his 40s. And he's pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. And as he's leading his church family in a new series, launching it called Mountains Move, he challenges them to pray a brave prayer. And he says that a brave prayer is a prayer you can barely believe God for because it seems impossible. It's often the prayer you've prayed 100 times that hasn't been answered, but you pray it one more time anyway. And for Mark, the bravest prayer was that God would heal him of his asthma. And he prayed, and after that prayer, that's the last he ever had to use his inhaler. God healed him. But he prayed for 40 years nonstop. He says, I don't know how many hundreds of times I prayed to be healed. You know what helped him go on? Those two words, I'm able, I'm able, I'm able, I'm able. And friends, I want you to know, I don't know what you're going through today, but God says, I'm able, I'm able, I'm able, I'm able. Friends, we have a superior life in Jesus. Be warriors to stand strong, to be prepared, and make it to the end. Let's pray. Father God, oh, Jesus, I thank you for your victory on the cross. By your death, you have saved us from sin. And it didn't stop there. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And you conquered the devil and every principality and power. The devil is a defeated foe. He can't stand before us when we stand in the authority and the strength of Jesus Christ. So I pray today, Lord God, you would raise us up as holy warriors to claim victory over the enemy and live a superior life. Not that we now have a problem-free life, but we have a life that's in step with you as our commander-in-chief. And we have your power to stand against all the schemes of the wicked one. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone who's here in the building or online to pray a brave prayer. But before I do, there are some of you here this morning, you don't realize that there is a battle for your soul. And the devil wants you, he wants the entire world to go to hell, and you're not right with God. You haven't surrendered your life to Christ. You haven't put on that breastplate of righteousness saying, Jesus, I won't need to trust you to forgive me of my sin. I trust your work on the cross, the body and the blood, and I want to love you more than anything. I'm going to follow you and serve you. There's some of you, you need to surrender your life to Christ. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. You were once following God, but you've fallen away, and you need to come back. If that's you this morning, and you need to settle this first foundational piece of the battle, the salvation of your soul, I want you to raise your hand. If you say, I need God to forgive me, thank you for the hand in the back, down front. Thank you, there in the back. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, I need to be forgiven of my sin. Thank you on the side. Anyone else this morning, you want God's love, his life, you want to follow him and say, Jesus, your Lord, no matter what, I love you above everything. Anyone else in the house today, thank you. I see that hand over there on the side. Those who are watching online, if God's speaking to you today, I want you just to raise your hand wherever you're at and say, God, I'm committing my life. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and being. Is there anyone else here in the house? The Spirit speaking to you, prompting you, convicting you, needing to surrender your life to God. Just slip your hand up. Thank you. There in the middle. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like each of us to repeat this prayer, no one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. Wash me of my sin. I surrender to you. I accept your leadership. Defeat the works of the devil in my life. Give me power. Make me a warrior. I want to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen. Amen. Next, I want to challenge every Christ follower this morning to pray a brave prayer. In a moment, when our team sings this last song, I'm going to have you come down to these altars and say, I'm going to come down, I'm going to pray for a brave prayer for some of you. Maybe it is healing of asthma, or maybe it's a heart condition, kidneys, cancer, some other disease that the doctors don't have answers for. Maybe for some of you, it's a disease that eats your emotions, depression, discouragement, some emotional disorder that you struggle with. You want God to set you free. For others, maybe it's an unsaved loved one, a family member, a child, a parent, and you pray and they seem so far from God and it's impossible for them to come back. Maybe for some of you, you've got an addiction you struggle with and you say, God, and you've prayed and prayed and he's delivered, but then you fall back in and you feel like you're going back and forth and you want to be set free from tobacco, alcohol, porn, stealing, whatever, lying, whatever it might be. What is the brave prayer? For some of you, you say, I'm not building muscles. I can't develop a consistent devotional life. I'm a wimp, and I want to be a warrior. Some of you, you've prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years, camps, conventions, services, and it hasn't happened. You've just kind of come to the place where it's not for me. It's not going to happen. You've given up. You've stopped asking. Friends, what brave prayer do you need to pray? Right now, I want you to stand, get up out of your seat, and come down and say, God, help me, heal me, answer this prayer. I believe you are able. Right now, don't wait. Just come down front right now. If you say, I want God to answer this prayer, I need healing for my body, I need the salvation of loved one, I want to be filled with the Spirit, there's something that I'm dealing with, I want God to answer this prayer. Oh, Jesus, I pray right now, begin to seek and begin to call out to God. Right now, Father God, as people are calling out to you, they're lifting their needs up. I pray that you would be the Lord God, strong in battle. You're the mighty warrior that goes before us. No weapon formed against us prospers. We heard that word today about the safety in you as we trust you, going after your path, your process, your purpose. Help us, God, to never give up. Help us to be devoted to prayer. Oh, Jesus, we need you today. We seek you today. We want you, God. Hear our cries. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. My God never fails. God, we're going to keep praying no matter how long we need to pray because we know that you answer. You are faithful. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Team, go ahead and sing, and I want you just to continue to pray and worship and ask God to help you as we sing this song this morning.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Shadows burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus
over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Oh, we just speak Jesus. I want you to say the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, you're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our comforter. You're our encourager. Oh, God, you're the bridge builder. You're our Savior. You are interceding to the Father for us day and night. You are our faithful one. You are our King of kings. You are Lord over all circumstances and situations. You're our provider. You're our shield, our protector. You're our defender, our vindicator. Jesus, whatever we need you to be, we know that you are the answer. And so we cry out to you. We know you are able. And God, that you help us in our weaknesses. God, that there is nothing we can do. All things are possible through God. Oh, Lord, and you strengthen us. Give us your strength. God, if you want to answer today, we praise you for it. God, if you want to wait, we praise you for it. God, we're going to praise you no matter what. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We're your faithful warriors. Oh, you can depend upon us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the superior life you've given us. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just want to say thank him right now. Thank him out of trust. Even if nothing's happened, you're thanking him with all prayer and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. We thank you, God, that you're working when we don't see it, when we don't feel it. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Oh, you're sweet, Jesus. You're so sweet. Thank you, God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.